The time of the end. You've been watching the news, haven't you? What do you hear? Well, we got to do something with the gun laws. This has been, oh my gosh, the last 2 years, America's been having problems. And then you hear these people building bunkers and silos. Did you start on the bunker anywhere? Any of you? Silo? There's one individual's got 2,000 gallons of water stored underground. The end is coming. What are we going to do? Time of the end. But you know, through Bible time, every time there was the time of the end, there was always another happy beginning. Another happy beginning. You know, brother, we're living in wonderful time, aren't we? Yet, it's a fearful time. Many of you probably watch the news and some of the reports that they give you that America, this includes Canada too, as far as food supply is concerned, the warehouses only have 29 days' supply of food for you. If something should happen, you only have 29 days' supply of food today. It can change tomorrow day after. But that's the situation in the world. We look at other continents, what they have passed through. Look at Africa. Look at Australia. Did you know that Australia had a drought for 10 years? They're doing okay now, but they had floods. I talked to Adam on the phone, and there was a flood in the northern part of Australia where Henry Greenhut lives and his family by Gympie there. Well, that little village was completely flooded. They had 3 feet of rain. Can you imagine? 3 feet of rain? Bridges were all flooded out. Villages and little cities were flooded. It's unbelievable that that could happen. But it does happen. And happens so quickly. We heard in a news report, since the upheaval in Syria, did you hear the latest report of how many people have died in that period? Over 70,000 civilians died. How fortunate we are so far in living in a country that still practices democracy. But even that is a problem. And so many people are wondering what's going to happen. Is the government going to turn against them? Well, we've got to have protection. And everybody wants their rights. They want their constitution rights. They want the rights to own a gun. So yes, we're living in fearful times, it is true. But is a time of extreme contradictions such as have never before existed in all human history, and it's happening all at the same time. After thousands of years of man's existence on the earth, we find the most unusual existence in the earth is that cannot be ignored, the changes that are taking place today. And what I'm talking about is the increase of knowledge in recent years. That is a good sign. Do you realize, brethren, that practically all the modern conveniences and scientific achievements that we have today, we take so much for granted, but which is developed within the past 150 years. Within this short period of time, there has been sudden awakening of the increase of knowledge. You know, we look at our little cell phones, and you find them in poor countries now. You find them in Europe, all over. All of a sudden, everybody's going to have the BlackBerry. Did you go out to buy one? Or do you stick with the blueberry and the strawberry? But we see that science has estimated that man's total body of knowledge doubled within 1775 to the year 1900. And the story tells us that it's doubled again between 1900 and 1950. And again by 1950 and 1958. And it's been doubling almost every week, hasn't it? Everybody has to have a BlackBerry. Well, I think I'm going to stick with the blueberries. But I want you to consider something. Some of you haven't even been born at that time. Just consider the people who died as recently as 1929. It's not that far back, is it? Some of you that were born before that time are here. Some of you aren't. But those people that died before 1929 never heard of a jet airplane. The breaking of the sound barrier, the satellites, the rockets to the moon, photography, how things have changed. At one time we thought that the Polaroid camera was out of this world. Now we've got digital cameras. But not only that, you can buy a wireless digital camera that you go down to Europe, you can take pictures there, and the pictures are sent immediately back home to your family. That's technology. We have so many inventions since that time. You got your television. You got your computer programs. You got your desktop printers and so on. You have laser surgery. It's one of the nice conveniences we have this day in the healthcare system. And then you have others, such as nuclear bombs. Nuclear power plants, which is a good feature. It produces us electricity, but it could be hazardous, yes. But we have many other products and methods that we have today, which were unknown in the 1920s. It was completely unknown. Yet in our comparison, we're living in a time, as one television talk show said, and I'll repeat what he said. He says, our world is spiritually and morally bankrupt. We're living in that era. One army general mentioned this. He's died since then. He says, our world is a world of nuclear giants. He says, we know more about war than we know about peace. We know more about killing than we know about living. He says, we have grasped the mystery of the atom and have rejected the Sermon on the Mount. That was his words. That's the time we're living in. In recent years, brethren, we've witnessed an enormous advance in medical science. new drugs. But yet, on the other hand, we have no control of being able to lose 50,000 people per year in highway accidents in the USA alone. That's the average. 50,000, just like wiping out a small city. Unbelievable that that can happen. That's not counting worldwide. We have the ability, not just the United States, but Canada as well, we have the ability to spend billions of dollars in various space programs, whatever you may have. We can spend it on war. But yet, the poverty in the world hasn't made any headway. And you hear these commercials every day, probably about 100 per day, how we have to help these people, the children that are suffering. Yes, we have the ability to kill every living thing on the face of the earth. And how many times over? I don't know. I can't remember anymore. And that's why I say, if we're living in such a fearful time, now this moment the prophecy of Jesus comes to our mind, doesn't it? Luke the 21st chapter, verse 25, we can see it's getting fulfilled. Yes, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, and for looking after those things coming on the earth. And you wonder why these people are building bunkers underground and silos? They can sense something. And some of them have this fear, they're afraid of their own shadow. Their fear of their own government is going to turn against them. That's the kind of world we're living in. Is there a way out? Yes, the Lord told us also what's going to happen. Matthew 24, 21 and 22. There shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world unto this time nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. And we have that hope, brother, that those days will be shortened. I just heard the other day on the news, you probably have too, one of the most sophisticated airplane fighters are being built in the United States. Surpasses any other plane that was ever built. But one plane cost billions of dollars. Why? What's the purpose of a fighter plane? Kill a man. And what are they going to do with the used ones they have here, the old ones? They'll probably sell it to another country. Another country will use it against us. That's the name of the game. We've been told by our parents of what happened back in 1918. The flu that struck the world. How many people died in that flu? 22 million. See how disaster can strike? You don't need wars. If you have drought, you have no rain, you have no crops, you have no gardens. And no wonder John the Revelator said, hold back the four winds until I've sealed 144,000. Don't let the financial structure fall. Don't let the economic systems fall in the world yet. Don't have the political systems fall. or the religious until I've sealed 144,000. In our class, we're studying the fourth volume, and it's on the chapter of Babylon. What is interesting there, that is, which is true, what Brother Elsa said, what is good to have other religious organizations in the world is that it holds back the anarchy. And that is true. And it's true. It holds back the anarchy. Yes, we realize the import of prophecy written 2,000 years ago that I quote, except those days should be shortened. So brethren, don't be afraid. We don't have to build bunkers and silos underground. The Lord will look after us. The hymn we sang, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you all agree, I'm sure, that we have a great increase of knowledge in this past few years. And only in the Bible did we see the increase of knowledge is prophetically recorded to identify the time in which we are now living. The time of the end. And who said this? Daniel. Daniel. Daniel was entrusted with many of the prophecies pertaining to the future, but he could not understand some of them. He wanted so much to understand. This is Daniel 12, 8 and 9. But it was not yet due to do so. Daniel says, I heard, and I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. The time of the end. And then in the fourth verse of this chapter, we are told how we should identify the time of the end when it has come. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. He says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Do you recognize the signs? It is almost impossible not to recognize them, for they are before us, whichever way we turn. And it's coupled with the increase of knowledge. There's never been a time when there was so much rapid and worldwide travel, no doubt about it. There's been so much that the world is turning to, trying to read and study the scriptures. They're running to and fro through the scriptures. And so the verse 1 and 2, we have the important and wonderful part of the prophecy. He says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which shall stand for the children of Israel, of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at the same time thy people shall be delivered. I like this last line here. He says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's a prophecy. This is a prophecy of Christ's kingdom in a time of the preparation preceding its establishment. And from the signs given, it is almost here. It's almost here. The great prince, Christ Jesus, is present. And when the current time of trouble is finished, yes, his kingdom will control all the earth's affairs, and there shall be a resurrection of the dead. I like the prophecy of Haggai Many of you, I'm sure, have studied it in your class. Haggai 2:7 states, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. What is the desire of all nations? Or what are the desire of the families of the earth? We know what the desire of the parents are in Connecticut that lost their 20 children. And many others this past couple of years. And we can sum it up in one word, the desire of all nations. Life. Life. Peace and health. Yes, we know Adam was created perfect. He was designated to live forever on the earth. He once had a kingdom. He had a dominion on the earth. And we know what happened. Adam failed to have reverence for our Heavenly Father. And he failed to live up to the standards of God. And the result of that, all his children were born imperfect. And in a dying condition. And we find that Jesus came, gave himself a ransom for Adam and his race. He died in order that Adam and his children might live. This doctrine, this teaching of the ransom, is the most important doctrine of the Bible. You can ask any religious person in any church, or some of our best friends, the JWs, tell them to explain to you the philosophy of the ransom. What answer would you get? Run a test and find out. Yes. We can say we're living in the best of times because we have the truth. We have peace yet. And we're grateful that the Heavenly Father is still looking after us. As you recall the scriptures, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angel announced, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This is recorded in Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Christ the Lord. We find a new and wonderful significance in that beloved old text in John 3:16. God so loved the world. And you know that. Because he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And what is to be the grand result? What will be the culmination of this great, loving, divine plan of the ages that we have? This redemption program. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 to 23. Paul tells us that since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after a day that are Christ and his coming. Jesus Christ was the first to be resurrected and ascended to heaven. As footstep followers, you and I, which is referred to as his church, the members of that body, we have the privilege of gaining a heavenly reward if we're faithful unto death. Then Christ establishes his kingdom on earth. And so referring to this completed work of our glorious kingdom, Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 26. And you all know it by heart, probably. Then come at the end. The end of what? The end of this old evil world. This fearful world. Yes. The human race will have an opportunity to walk up the highway of holiness in the next age. Really, what is the purpose of the next age, do you think? The next age is going to be an educational program to train the people, to educate the people, to bring them back in relationship with God. Why? To prepare them for the next age and ages to come. That's the purpose of the kingdom. That's why Paul says that he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Yes. And death will come to an end at the end of the millennium. Just think of the world in which men will no longer die. Think of them. And this is the kingdom that Jesus taught his followers to pray 2,000 years ago. Many of the religions in the world, they recite that prayer. Even the Catholics recite it in their church. Yes, millions of people have prayed for the kingdom to come. For God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I often think of the scripture that Paul tells us in Romans 8 chapter, verses 18 to 22. I've heard the scripture recited in Europe at the convention that was held there in southern Ukraine. I've heard this recited at the New York class, at the convention, and many other places. And it says the whole world groans and travails in pain, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Wow. We are now living the time of the end on the very threshold of this kingdom of God on earth. When Michael shall stand up, Christ's head and body, when many that sleep in the dust, the earth shall awake. The world is waiting. And so during that 1,000-year kingdom, all the dead will be resurrected and come back to live on the earth. Death is a great enemy. I've been to a few funerals. The minister says that death is a friend. What a joke. Death is a friend. Because that individual now is going to go to another portal. Wow. What hope. Just think, during the kingdom, what joyful reunions that will take place. What a happy time it will be. I often think of the mothers that lost those loved ones, the first in Connecticut, and others throughout the world. Mothers who have lost their children in death will have them in their arms again. You remember the time of Jesus' birth when Herod killed all those young children in and around Bethlehem? For every slain child there, there's a broken-hearted mother left behind. Sometimes it's hard to bear that. There were thousands of them. They were mourning for their loved ones that were caught short. And think of the others around the world. Think of those poor children that are dying in Africa. Just think of the resurrection. What did our Lord tell Rachel? A voice was heard in Ramah. This is Jeremiah 31, 15 to 17. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. What did the Lord tell her? Then comes a part of the prophecy, referring to God's kingdom earth now so near. The Lord says, refrain thine eyes from weeping, for thy children shall be rewarded, and they shall come back again from the land of the enemy. It's hard to understand it. Hard for people who have lost their young ones, their children, at this time. Yes, the Lord says, and there is hope in thine hand, saith the Lord, that the children shall come again to their own border. Notice the phrase, the Lord says. It's repeated three times in these verses. How sure these words are, how sure is the promise. They shall return back from the land of the enemy. Let me ask you a question. You live in America. Have you ever driven by the national cemeteries that you have here? Have you been to the cemetery which is close to the White House? The Arlington Cemetery. Did you see the rows and rows and rows of crosses there? And you have other locations here also. The national cemeteries, the war dead that are buried. Miles and miles of them. White grave markers. Just think. Every one of those markers represent a young man who died in the prime of vigorous manhood, and each one has left behind a broken-hearted mother, father, brothers and sisters. All those that were weeping, the weeping mothers, bitter weeping. What a sound of lamentations that would make. And the words of Jeremiah addressed not only to the sorrowing mothers of Herod's time, but also to these mothers in this past few hundred years in America. Yes, refrain thy voice from weeping, so they shall come again from the land of the enemy. Thy children shall come again to their own border. Just think in contrast, brethren, the overwhelming joy of a mother whose child has actually returned from the dead. The grief, the aching, the loneliness are all forgotten. And now, instead of voice of weeping, think of the united voice of joy, which will ascend into the heaven when in proper order all the beloved dead will return. Yes, although we see the time of the end, but there's always, always another happy beginning. The world is looking forward to the time when they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Today is the opposite. We're building more military might to kill man. Looks like the time of the end, isn't it? But you know how it's all shaping up? It's shaping up to the point of getting ready for the next age. One place Brother Russell wrote in the Fourth Volume, that all these amalgamations that we have in the world today, amalgamations of banks and all different other companies, he says it may be that these huge amalgamations will be used to overthrow this old social order. It could be true. It could be true. That could happen. Yes. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. When Eden restored and made worldwide, with the curse upon the earth and upon mankind it was lifted, with perfect food again made abundantly available, not just for 29 days, but forever. All obedient persons will live forever on this earth, and because of the bitter experience that they have had with sin and death, man will want no more of it. No. Then shall Satan, the devil, will be destroyed, and there shall be pure universe, a pure message of truth. Mankind will love and obey and praise God throughout ages of eternity. What a wonderful promise that is for us. A time of the end, we can see it, don't we? The end of what? Satan's rule. We're getting closer. Closer and closer. You know, as we see in the world today, especially the United States, and probably Canada is going to get in the same bar, and that is, I want my rights. I want my gun rights. I want my constitution rights to own a gun. What a world we're living in. And so, brethren, in closing, I want to leave you with something. Although we're living in the best of times, for many of you it seems like it's fearful times. But we know one scripture that tells us in Malachi, a son of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, brethren. Yes. And he says, at this time I'm going to gather my jewels, and you are God's jewels. You're the one that's going to fulfill that scripture in Romans. All world groans and travails in pain. When we were to Europe this past few months ago, we were to one family. A young lad is about 40 years old. He's got brain tumor. It was so hard to leave. He hung on to you. Try and help me, he says. Do something. Take me to America. He lived with his auntie and his mother. Just think how many there are like that throughout the world, groaning, travailing in pain. We stayed at another sister's house. She's got a bad case of diabetes. She gets up in the morning. She sits in this chair by the kitchen facing out the window all day. Keeps looking at the time, when is the next time to take her needle. That's just two that we've seen. How many like that in the world? And that's why Paul says, not only does the world groan and travail in vain, but we too are waiting for our change. And I was thinking, and she's sitting there, his sister waiting for a change to come. How true that is. Brethren, we have no idea the greatness of our Heavenly Father. We have no idea. Did you know that our Heavenly Father knows every individual who has ever lived and died? That's the greatness of our Heavenly Father. He knows every hair in our head. Although I don't have too much, but He knows what's up there. But He knows. When we think of the creation of this earth, how the moon and the sun were created, everything was done ahead of time for mankind to live on this earth. He made provisions for the sunlight, the moonlight. He made provisions that we should have water for plant life and ourselves to live. Everything was done ahead of time. Before Adam was created in the Garden of Eden. It sometimes is mind-boggling, the greatness of our Heavenly Father. He has name for all the galaxies, all the stars. That must tell you something. You know, we have some of these religious organizations which are supposed to be best friends of ours. They tell you the only ones that are resurrected, only those in God's memory. Only those in their church's memory. But that's not so. Because the greatness of Heavenly Father is, He knows every individual that has ever lived and died. That's why Jesus said, marvel out of this, and all of our degrees shall hear His voice. Yes. And they shall come forth. What a great God we have. What a great God we serve. And the Heavenly Father has provided this and called us out of darkness this marvelous night. And my prayer on your behalf is, brethren, that somehow, in some way, that we can all meet at the marriage supper. And may God's Holy Spirit guide you each day of your lives, brethren. Be faithful for the wonderful truth the Lord has revealed unto you. The time of the end that you see here coming so quickly is only another happy beginning. May God add His blessings.